Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Ram Goldar, and today Masechus Baba Metzia, Daf Kuv Zayin, the ninth parak Hamakabo. This parak has been generously sponsored by Nishmas, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe ben Rabbi Yamin Yosef Alav Shalom. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a Talmud of Rav was asked how Rav interpreted the following psukim: Baruch Atah Ba'ir, you shall be blessed in the city; Baruch Atah Ba'Sada, you shall be blessed in the field; Baruch Atah Ba'Bo'echa, you shall be blessed when you come in; Baruch Atah Ba'Tzeisecha, and you shall be blessed when you go out. He explained that they mean respectively, number one, your home should be near a shul; number two, your property should be near your home to ease the transport of crops; number three, your wife should not be a possible nida when you return from a trip; and number four, your offspring should be like you. Rav Yochanan explained that differently. Number one, you should have a bathroom near your table. He doesn't consider it beneficial to be near one shul because he holds there's schar psios, reward for steps taken to walk there. Number two, your crops should be diversified between grain, olive trees, and vines. And three and four, shetei yitziyascha min ha'olam ki biyascha la'olam, that your departure from the world should be like your entry to the world. Ma biyascha la'olam b'lachet, just as your entry to the world was without sin, af yitziyascha min ha'olam b'lachet, so your departure from the world should be without sin. Pointing to the more quoted Rav Yehuda advising against buying a field close to town, which people will pass by, because Rav says it is forbidden for a person to stand at one's field while it has a standing crop, so he should not cast an evil eye on it. The Gemara objects from the statement of Rav that it's a bracha for one's field to be near his house, and explains that that is where the field is surrounded by walls and cannot be seen. Amarami discussed the pasuk, "Vehesi Hashem mimcha kocholi," Hashem will remove all illness from you. Rav says it refers to ayin, the evil eye, which is the source of all illness. This accords with his own opinion because Rav once went to a cemetery and determined the cause of the deaths of those buried there and declared, "Tishim v'tishim ba'ayin ra ve'echad b'derech eretz." 99 of 100 died from an evil eye and only one from natural causes. Shmuel said the pasuk refers to ruach, wind, because he said, "Hakol b'ruach," all deaths result from wind, which caused illness and death. Even those executed by the sword could be healed if not for the wind, which blows on the wound. Three more interpretations are given for the pasuk. And point number three, Abraisa teaches that 83 illnesses are associated with the gallbladder. Bahulan, Pashachis b'melch v'kiton shomayim v'vitaltan, and all of them are neutralized by morning bread with salt and a pitcher of water. Abraisa lists 13 benefits of Pashachris, morning bread. Number one, it saves one from the heat. Number two, and cold. Number three, from harmful winds. Number four, and demons. Number five, it makes wise the foolish through having a clear mind. Number six, it makes one successful in litigation. Number seven, it helps him to learn. Number eight, and teach Torah. Nine, his words are heard, having the clarity to explain them properly. Number 10, his learning remains with him. Number 11, he does not sweat excessively. Number 12, it facilitates his having relations with his wife, so he'll not desire other women during the day. And number 13, and it kills intestinal worms. Some say it also helps to avoid jealousy and encourages friendliness because his improved mood will make him slower to anger. The Gemara quotes a popular saying, 60 runners ran, but could not catch the men who ate bread in the morning. And the rabbinic expression, Hashkem ve'echol, arise early and eat in the summer because of the heat, and the winter because of the cold. Sources are offered for these expressions. So once again, the three points are: number one, a Talmud of Rav was asked how Rav interpreted the following psukim: Baruch Atah Ba'ir, you shall be blessed in the city; Baruch Atah Ba'Sada, you shall be blessed in the field; Baruch Atah Ba'Bo'echa, you shall be blessed when you come in; Baruch Atah Ba'Tzeisecha, and you shall be blessed when you go out. He explained that they mean respectively, number one, your home should be near a shul; number two, your property should be near your home to ease the transport of crops; number three, your wife should not be a possible nida when you return from a trip; and number four, your offspring should be like you. Rav Yochanan explained that differently. Number one, you should have a bathroom near your table. He doesn't consider it beneficial to be near one shul because he holds there's schar psios, reward for steps taken to walk there. Number two, your crops should be diversified between grain, olive trees, and vines. And three and four, shetei yitziyascha min ha'olam ki biyascha la'olam, that your departure from the world should be like your entry to the world. Ma biyascha la'olam b'lachet, just as your entry to the world was without sin, af yitziyascha min ha'olam b'lachet, so your departure from the world should be without sin. Pointing to the more quoted Rav Yehuda advising against buying a field close to town, which people will pass by, because Rav says it is forbidden for a person to stand at one's field while it has a standing crop, so he should not cast an evil eye on it. The Gemara objects from the statement of Rav that it's a bracha for one's field to be near his house, and explains that that is where the field is surrounded by walls and cannot be seen. Amarami discussed the pasuk, "Vehesi Hashem mimcha kocholi," Hashem will remove all illness from you. Rav says it refers to ayin, the evil eye, which is the source of all illness. This accords with his own opinion because Rav once went to a cemetery and determined the cause of the deaths of those buried there and declared, Tishin v'tishin ba'ayin ra ve'echad b'derech eretz. 99 of 100 died from an evil eye and only one from natural causes. Shmuel said the pasuk refers to ruach, wind, because he said, Hakol b'ruach, all deaths result from wind, which caused illness and death. Even those executed by the sword could be healed if not for the wind which blows on the wound. Three more interpretations are given for the pasuk. And point number three, Abraisa teaches that 83 illnesses are associated with the gallbladder. And all of them are neutralized by morning bread with salt and a pitcher of water. Abraisa lists 13 benefits of Pashachris, morning bread. Number one, it saves one from the heat. Number two, and cold. Number three, from harmful winds. Number four, and demons. Number five, it makes wise the foolish through having a clear mind. Number six, it makes one successful in litigation. Number seven, it helps him to learn. Number eight, and teach Torah. Nine, his words are heard, having the clarity to explain them properly. Number 10, his learning remains with him. Number 11, he does not sweat excessively. Number 12, it facilitates his having relations with his wife, so he'll not desire other women during the day. And number 13, and it kills intestinal worms. Some say it also helps to avoid jealousy and encourages friendliness because his improved mood will make him slower to anger. The Gemara quotes a popular saying, 60 runners ran, but could not catch the men who ate bread in the morning. And the rabbinic expression, Hashkem ve'echol, arise early and eat in the summer because of the heat, and the winter because of the cold. Sources are offered for these expressions. All right, so now we get our Simon Daf Kuf Zayin, and this Simon was suggested to us by Rabbi Baruch Lef from Baltimore and by Kobe Melkin from Yerushalayim. They both suggested the Kuf Zayin is couscous. Couscous. So here goes. The couscous restaurant owner who posted a Baruch Atah B'Vo'echo, Baruch Atah B'Seisecho sign on the door of his restaurant, which was right next to a cemetery full of people who had died due to Ayin Hara, was busy promoting his new couscous dish to accompany the 13 benefits of eating Pashachris. Once again, slow motion. The couscous restaurant owner, couscous, that must more end up Kuf Zayin. The couscous restaurant owner who posted a Baruch Atah B'Vo'echo, Baruch Atah B'Seisecho sign on the door of his restaurant, which reminds us, the Talmud of Rav was asked how Rav interpreted the following psukim. Baruch Atah B'Ir, you shall be blessed in the city. Baruch Atah B'Sada, you shall be blessed in the field. Baruch Atah B'Vo'echo, you shall be blessed when you come in. Baruch Atah B'Seisecho, and you shall be blessed when you go out. He explained that they mean respectively, number one, your home should be near a shul. Number two, your property should be near your home to ease the transport of crops. Number three, your wife should not be a possible nida when you return from a trip. And number four, your offspring should be like you. Rabbi Yochanan explained them differently. So the couscous restaurant owner who posted a Baruch Atah B'Vo'echo, Baruch Atah B'Seisecho sign on the door of his restaurant, which was right next to a cemetery full of people who had died due to Ayin Hara, which reminds us, Rav once went to a cemetery and determined the cause of the deaths of those buried there and declared 99 of 100 died from an evil eye and only one from natural causes. So the couscous restaurant owner who posted a Baruch Atah B'Vo'echo, Baruch Atah B'Seisecho sign on the door of his restaurant, which was right next to a cemetery full of people who had died due to Ayin Hara, was busy promoting his new couscous dish to accompany the 13 benefits of eating Pashachris, which reminds us the Gemara brings the 13 benefits of eating Pashachris. So once again, the couscous restaurant owner who posted a Baruch Atah B'Vo'echo, Baruch Atah B'Seisecho sign on the door of his restaurant, which was right next to a cemetery full of people who had died due to Ayin Hara, was busy promoting his new couscous dish to accompany the 13 benefits of eating Pashachris. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Chazara. Daf Kuf Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Gimel is Yerushalmi Kugel. So here goes. The Yerushalmi Kugel cook, Yerushalmi Kugel. That must mean one Daf Kuf Gimel. The Yerushalmi Kugel cook who rented a house in the shape of a Yerushalmi Kugel for 10 years with an undated shtar and was now in a dispute with the landlord regarding how long he lived there, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said that if one rents out his house for 10 years and wrote an undated shtar for the tenant, certifying the term of the lease, and later claims that the tenant already lived there for 5 years, while the tenant claims he only lived there for three, the landlord is believed, since his property is always in his possession, the tenant must prove his right to 7 more years, despite his holding a shtar for verifying his 10-year lease. So the Yerushalmi Kugel cook, who rented a house in the shape of a Yerushalmi Kugel for 10 years with an undated shtar, and was now in a dispute with the landlord regarding how long he lived there, was plowing a field he leased after harvesting the grain, according to the Minhag Medina, which reminds us the ninth parak begins, Hamakabel Sada Mechevera, one who leases a field from his fellow, either as an aris, where he each takes a percentage of the crop, or as a hocher, where the farmer pays a fixed amount of produce. In a place where farmers customarily cut the crops, he cuts them. If they customarily uproot them, he uproots them. If they customarily plow the field after harvesting, he plows it. Hakol Minhag Medina. Everything follows the local custom. So the Yerushalmi cook, who rented a house in the shape of a Yerushalmi kugel for 10 years with an undated shtar and was now in a dispute with the landlord regarding how long he lived there, was plowing a field he leased after harvesting the grain according to the Minhag Medina, when he noticed that the stream which irrigated the field and provided water for him to cook the noodles had dried up, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that if one leased a field which was irrigated by a stream, or included a fruit tree providing additional produce without effort, if the stream dried up or the tree was cut down, he does not deduct from his rent because of the loss. However, if the tenant originally said, lease me this irrigated field, or this field containing a tree, indicating that the rate he was paying was because of these benefits, then he does deduct from his rental if the stream dries up or the tree is cut down. Daf Kuf Dalet, so the Siman Daf Kuf Dalet is code. So here goes. The renter who used the code, that must be more Daf Kuf Dalet. The renter who used the code to open the gate on the field called the irrigated field, even though it wasn't irrigated at all, which reminds us. The Mishnah taught that if a tenant said, lease me Beis HaShlachin Zeh, this irrigated field, he may deduct from the rent if the stream dried up. The Gemara asked that the landowner should be able to say, Shema Ba'ama Amri Lach. I only said it to you as a name, meaning that he called it an irrigated field simply because it was commonly referred to that way, but not as a stipulated term for the rental. Shmuel answered that the Mishnah's case is where the tenant spoke to the owner, so the request for an irrigated field is to be taken literally. Ravina gave a different answer. So the renter who used the code to open the gate on the field called the irrigated field, even though it wasn't irrigated at all, and promised the owner that if he leaves the field fallow, he'll pay him an exaggerated amount of 1,000 zuz, which reminds us, the Gemara records an incident in which a tenant said, if I leave your field fallow, I'll pay you 1,000 zuz, and he left one-third of it fallow. The Nardin said he must pay a third of this amount, but Rava said, this is an asmakta, a commitment made without expecting to keep it, which is not binding. In this case, because he committed to an extraordinary penalty, guzma ba'amahu de kagazim, he's merely exaggerating. So the renter used the code to open the gate on the field called the irrigated field, even though it wasn't irrigated at all, and promised the owner that if he leaves the field fallow, he'll pay him an exaggerated amount of 1,000 zuz, was renting the field with iska money he received from an investor, which was half loan, half deposit, which reminds us. The Nardin said, hi iska, the merchandise of an iska business arrangement, where one partner provides the capital and the other manages the investment, is considered half a loan and half a deposit, so any losses are divided evenly, which the rabbis instituted as agreeable to both parties. They concluded that since half is a loan, if the manager wishes to drink beer by selling his half of the merchandise instead of investing it, he may. Rava disagrees. This is the reason they call it an iska, literally an involvement, so the investor can tell the manager, when I gave it to you, it was to be involved with it for the investment and not to drink beer with its proceeds. Daf Kuf Hei, so the Siman Daf Kuf Hei is a hacker. So here goes. The hacker, that must be more on Daf Kuf Hei. The hacker whose landlord demanded that he stop hacking on his computer all day, and finally weed the field, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that one who leased a field with a fixed rental, but did not want to weed it while the crop was growing, telling the owner he'll get the same rental amount anyway, ain't showing well. We do not listen to him because the owner can respond, tomorrow you're going to leave after the lease ends, malus lefanei asavim, and the field will grow weeds from me instead of crops. So the hacker whose landlord demanded that he stop hacking on his computer all day and finally weed the field had a strange practice wearing his less than 4-cup lightweight laptop on his head above his tefillin, which reminds us, the yeshiva Rabbi Yanai said, L'tefil u'tefillin arba kabin. For prayer and tefillin, the definition of a burden is 4 kabin. Regarding tefillin, a braisa teaches that if one was carrying a burden on his head while wearing tefillin, then if they're being crushed, he must remove the burden. But if not, it's permitted. This burden is defined as 4 kabin. So the hacker whose landlord demanded that he stop hacking on his computer all day and finally weed his field had a strange practice of wearing his less than 4-cup lightweight laptop on his head above his tefillin, and insisted that he has the right to deduct the damage to the field caused by a windstorm from his rent because it was a Malkus Medina, which reminds us. The Mishnah states that if one leased a field for a fixed rental and the crop was destroyed by locusts or powerful winds, Malkus Medina, if it's a general calamity, Menachalo min Chakoro, he may deduct from his rental according to the scale of damage. If the damage was local, he could not deduct from his rent because the owner can blame the damage on the tenants bad fortune. Daf Kuf Vav. So the Siman Daf Kuf Vav is a tightrope walker. So here goes. The tightrope walker. Tightrope walker? That must be one Daf Kuf Vav. The tightrope walker, looking down at his crop ruined by a wind and rebuking his tenant with a pusik for planting barley instead of the wheat he had told him to plant, which reminds us. The Gemara discusses a landowner who told his tenant to plant wheat, but he planted barley, and his crop was destroyed by wind along with most of the valley. Although the tenant can argue that the Makas Medina would have destroyed any wheat he may have planted, the Gemara concludes that the owner can respond, if you had planted wheat, the following bracha would have been fulfilled for me. You will make a plan and it will succeed for you, meaning my prayers for a successful wheat crop would have been answered. So the tightrope walker, looking down at his crop ruined by a wind and rebuking his tenant with a pusik for planting barley instead of the wheat he told him to plant, while walking on the high wire over another field affected by a Makas Medina that a tenant didn't plant at all in, lamenting that if it had been planted, a miraculous bracha may have occurred, which reminds us, Shmuel said that a tenant may only deduct from his rent in the case of a Makas Medina if he actually planted and it was destroyed. But if he did not plant at all, he may not, because the owner can argue that had he planted, the falling bracha would have been fulfilled. They will not be ashamed in time of calamity. In days of famine, they will be satisfied, meaning it may have miraculously succeeded despite the Makas Medina. So the tightrope walker, looking down at his crop ruined by a wind and rebuking his tenant with a pusik for planting barley instead of the wheat he told him to plant, while walking on the highway over another field affected by a Makas Medina that a tenant didn't plant at all and lamenting that if it had been planted, a miraculous bracha may have occurred, was dismayed when he saw at the end of the platform a tenant who leased land for 10 cores of wheat coming to pay with wheat from the damaged crop. Which reminds us, the next mission states that if one leased land for a rent of 10 cores of wheat and the wheat crop was damaged, he may pay with his wheat since the land performed its role. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.